Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show, Voices Indigenous to People. Your co-host tonight, Gabriel Salab, and our host, Shanika Blue High Money. Stonehard Warrior Society of the Free and Independent Lakota Nation. Independent Selig'u Nation. Oh. So, for this Nisti, we start with a prayer. We'll end with a song. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Sorry we had some glitches in the program tonight. We're getting started kind of late. Our calling number is 657-383-1630. This is our prayer tonight. Rabbana la tuzakuluna ba'da ishadaytana wa hablana minna dhu'l-farah. Start our show tonight with some topics we left off on last night, which we were talking about independence and self-determination. Thank you all for tuning in. Last night we were on the subject of independence. Why it's so important for us to exercise the independence and exercise our rights as human beings. Because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is so important, people of different nations of the world have come together and they put the consensus together that the human being, he has unalienable rights. It cannot be taken from them. These are the rights of independence. Free people. So we want to expound on those things. And I hope tonight we can do our money to give us more in-depth knowledge on that subject. Do you have you there, Tanuka?
Yes, I am. I am here. It's great to be back on. I know we had some difficulties with the technical system, but that's all right. Let's begin the show with the prayer and get moving with everything that needs to be brought in on the independent structure. Here we go. Oh, Tunkasila, Wakantunka, Kitsi Moneta. Ampetu Kile, Tunwaste, Ohina, Nate, Dapu Waste, Iwongla Kapikte. Yunka, Donahunk. Anagapta unpikte kile wo ke kile lena e chunkte. He un taak lena un paski sakte kile wo la kote cheti. Ena he chus e hochi chiawe. Un shunka kile. Ke ta taak waste. O le un hiun pik iye chetamte. Ke a he chus e hochi chiawe. Un shunka kile. Oh, mitabiepe. Well, good evening. I'm sorry for a late start that the show started off this way, but we need to get into some heavy stuff about the independent structures. And so without any delay of that understanding, I figured we turned it into a serious matter of what's going on in Indian country. And then at the same time, trying to look at what's really the scenario going on in Indian country because of the current circumstances that are arising, because we have a lot at stake here in 2021. We also have a lot of understandings that are not inclined to talk about on the indigenous forefront. And last but not least, we also have, you know, issues that are aimed at tribal governments and different other predicaments that go on in Indian country, but yet people don't want to bring those, you know, type of venues to light. So I figure we would take this opportunity to look at the indigenous thought and philosophy vested upon the human rights dialogue that go on in Indian country, because a lot of people out there and around, they all talk like they have an issue pertaining to what's going on in Indian country. But at the same time, are they really, really utilizing that aspect of it? And so that's kind of the criteria that we need to really take a look at, because majority of the people in Indian country, they have a different momentum of dealing with traditional, you know, kinships of, you know, the life that is actually ours from an independent perspective. But at the same time, this is where the same time comes in. My grandpa once told me many years ago that a majority of our people were going to lose momentum and the onsites what go on in Indian country because of the current situations that are unfolding. Now, the reason for that, everybody's still stuck on, you know, treaty obligations, the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, and many other dividends that come to that. And I'm only using the English consonants to express more of that open intent of what goes on in Indian country because of the current circumstances that are unfolding. Had tribal governments a long time ago, in the past and present circumstances, dealt with, you know, the Interior Department and BIA more on a coherent manner, I think they might have been able to, and I mean they might have been able to create something that would help people, you know, deal with what goes on in the current situation on any said reservation that supports, you know, the behavior of what is happening today from the IRA's perspective. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of stuff in Indian country pertaining to what goes on. But at the same time, looking out for our elders, thanks for a lot of the people that stepped up to help us go get bags and food for our elders and so forth. We're trying to look at the initiatives, one, open schedule, taking care of our people because of what goes on in Indian country after they, you know, did all these budget cuts, took away a different responsibilities on an Indian country. So it's kind of hard to relate to a lot of the things that we talk about in Indian country. But lo and behold, we do our part to serve what's needed to be done in that open intent. So when I look to these matters that unfold in Indian country, oftentimes our people, excuse me, they talk about, hey, how can a tribal government improve its relationship with the people in general? While a tribal government can never improve relationship with the people, because the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 was never an independent structure. The treaties and all the other stuff were independent notes of structure to help our people understand the nature of the philosophies when it came to the important issues that involved Indian country with that rights to know how and so forth. But today our people don't utilize those things anymore. They don't understand those things anymore. So the parts that go on with Indian country, they don't see the purpose of what's going on today in 2021 on any said reservation. So you can see it's really difficult to deal with these matters more on a open, you know, virtue, because like for me, for instance, going up into Montana and different areas to pick up food and donations and things to help my people deal with what goes on the said reservation, when you have all those groups out there like the missing, murdered indigenous women, all these people talking about doing things for native communities, serving the purpose of people, all of these things go on. Those are not independent structures. They're not, because it creates a different foundation on how we deal with a lot of these matters on a Richter scale from
the Chinese food being bitched.
So, whoever's talking loud in the background, who's that? Who's that guy talking in loud? You know, if you want to be on the show and you want to do this, let me turn it over to you, guy. And you can talk. We're trying to help our listening audience understand what goes on in Indian country. And when you have that kind of static going on and dealing with what we have, it's hard to relate to anything that goes on in Indian country. So trying to deal with all this stuff, and when, like I said earlier, we had a, you know, real short delay on behalf of the radio show because of what's going on, current situations that are unfolding, everything that's very unhealthy to deal with the circumstances that we have right now as we're talking about how to move ahead with the current situations of independence and all the other stuff that go on. But needless to say, we try to hold on to the things we can't see. And that's the traditional value from an oral perspective. I know a majority of people don't want to hear Chinupa talk. They don't want to hear this. They want to hear that. Well, pulling over in your automobile, taking time. Hey, somebody's coughing in the background there. If he's on the show, who's the guy coughing on the show there, Jabril?
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That creates a different understanding on the network. Anyway, so as we continue on to talk about the independent structure, okay, I always try to openly open different, you know, criterias to what goes on in Indian country because of the current situation. And like I said, pulling over and taking care of business on a different, you know, Richter scale from 1 to 11. I try to see things more on an independent structure because that's what we all are looking for, and we're all trying to get back into the basis of that independent structure because of the current situations that are happening on every said reservation. And the most profound understanding to that, independence is what we always had since time immemorial, before the white man ever got here in 1492 and all the other predicaments of that nature. And so when you look at the current, you know, criteria that happen on said reservation, people try to administer that understanding with tribal involvement, tribal entities, all of them things that give, you know, predicaments of what tribes want, what a nation wants, and so forth, you know, and all the stuff that goes on, man. It just frustrates me because, you know, we know what technology does to our people. We know what the discussions are. We know all that stuff because it really, when we're all set for a radio show and we can't meet that criteria, it creates this kind of disaster, and then nobody has the momentum to get back in it. That's what goes on in Indian country when you're dealing with more of the human rights virtue. And so I did try to call a lot of you. You guys were calling me, trying to figure out what was wrong with the show and stuff. Technology-wise, I said I couldn't justify anything of it. But at the same time, I try to give everybody that benefit of a doubt to hold it more, you know, on an open note. So without any other, you know, intrusion of what we're talking about in the independent structure, I want you all to understand one thing, okay? The sad part that a lot of people are undertaking, and they underline and undermine the current situations that go on in Indian country, nobody really knows what is beneficial for people that are still living in dormancy on any said reservation. No different than what the COVID-19, you know, pandemic or epidemic, what the federal government had imposed on people. It's about population control, okay? So needless to say, anxiety amongst several, you know, different areas of people's well-being, that's how this virus works. But it's not independent. See, these are created, you know, mechanisms that stop the people to have the collective consciousness to see exactly what this government's capable of doing. And we should know about it already because of what they have done to us through smallpox blankets and all the other stuff and what they did to our brothers and sisters out in the East Coast, which a majority of our brothers and sisters out there are no more. See? And that's the hard part, to try to relate to all that stuff, because everybody wants to be a chief and leader and hedgeman and all that stuff to try to find ways to give back to the community, when in fact it's about making money for themselves and profiting for themselves so they can keep themselves high with the drug criteria that America has now gave everybody a chance to utilize for their own purpose. So when we get into these things about independence and so forth, I want us all to be focused with what is happening and what is it that people really want, you know, for them, in order for them to be successful in the everyday living with our traditional kinships, you know, what happens here in on any said reservation and in our country of our Turtle Island, if you're traveling or whatever, all of these things take place. And you can hear my voice isn't, you know, the same, because, you know, we were all ready to start at 5 o'clock because of technical difficulties. We couldn't get into it. And at the same time, you know, people have been calling me, hey, what's wrong with the show? And so I try to balance that out as best as I can. But at the same time, I don't have any control of the effects of what we're dealing with in Indian country. But I will say this, folks. We are doing it for you, to give you your voice that chance to express what you see, what you know about what's happening in Indian country. And that's the main momentum of how independence works. So as we're coming down to the top of the hour or six, I don't know if we got an hour and a half, an hour or so like we've been having. I'm going to turn it over to the people to kind of elaborate on some of the things that are going on with the independent structure, because one of the biggest parts to that independent structure is asking yourself, what can I do to better help my people understand the nature of these independents, and at the same time bring back something that's valuable to help my people get out of dormancy in the name of the freedom of independence? I belong to the free and independent Lakota Nation, okay? The free and independent Lakota Nation unilaterally withdrew from the country back in 2007. And it was a remarkable, you know, piece of understanding that created a foundation to help people see exactly that they could do the same thing. But the Oglala people on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation are so jealous of each other. All the half-breeds are making documentaries. When the Full Bloods make a documentary to expose all the graft and corruption at the tribal government, you know, discretion, all of them want to get in and brag up this kid or brag up that person over here, brag this one up, when in fact it's still the same thing, because it's all about legalizing any type of controlled substance to neutralize your free-thinking ability to believe and pick back up independence. Cool. So I'm going to turn it back to the people for some opening questions. And if they want to share something, I'm going to give everybody a chance to get onto that basis. And real, if you guys want to do something with it too, go ahead. And if you guys run into a serious bind, we'll pick it up and try to iron it out and fix it and get it back all on the level. So let's keep the world flowing, man. Like I said, I've been traveling, doing all this stuff, trying to get, you know, balance it all out, you know, technical difficulties through the computers. And that's the name of the game. So, go ahead. You guys want to open right up? Go ahead.
Okay, we'll take some calls now. We're a little behind in time. We had some computer issues. But we're back up and running. We've got 40 minutes left in the show. Let's take some calls. Area code 918, last four digits, 0762.
Hello.
Hello.
Not being from a reservation, but as I got older and started reading about our Native history and the reservation tribes, a lot I see where a lot of problems started was with that IRA and the tribes going into government to government and contractual agreements. And from there, it's just ballooned and seen that's where everything just basically went downhill. Because when I hear different tribal councils going on and I hear them referring back to the IRA and all the articles and sections and clauses, and then I hear about this relationship government to government, where did the relationship from nation to nation go? Does the nation, how much independence as a whole and separate was there under nation to nation versus when IRA came in place and went to government, and where was the breakdown that the people started getting excluded and pushed aside from all of that, and it just started being between tribal councils and that government and contractual agreements and third parties coming in and taking control of things is where I see a lot of problems. Is there any answer to that, Chinook?
That was the hijack. The nation, we joined these contracts, the 638 contracts, and the Hallelujah Act, it became a commercial entity, and that's how you get to be government to government. That was the hijack right there, where they crossed us over to this corporate entity, because it's all corporate structure now. But to go back to the way it was, you have to go back to the independent structure. In the independent structure, we were free and independent nation. We were building nation to nation, but under that, our people never were pencil and paper. We were basically oral. We had people who kept the calendar, the year count, the winter count, because, some people put on hives and so forth, but we wasn't a pencil and paper people. So when we came with this, we couldn't read the documents. No one could speak their language. So those translators, they never translated things properly. So we were pretty much tricked into these contracts. And the treaties and stuff were crowded with alcohol and so forth. So after they hijacked you into a commercial entity, then we built them. Going back to the independent structure, we become a nation. These nations come together because we all had nation-to-nation affiliations and cooperations before the Europeans, the coming of the Europeans. And when they came as a refugee, and they stole the land through trick and deception. And now they're even playing the same trick today as they convert your name and they convert everything into a corporate structure through words, through spells of words. The words are spoken, heard, written. But when you say spelling, they are casting spells upon the people unknown to them out of their ignorance, playing on the ignorance of the people, and making them commercial structured entities so that they can have the upper hand. That's why we moved back to our original nation status through the independent structure in the essence of it. All those contracts and treaties and so forth are pretty much a fraud, unless you agree to it. Next caller, 307-5318. If you'd like to come in, take your name and where you call from, step right in.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear somebody saying yeah, hello, man.
Go right ahead. We hear you loud and clear.
You want me to jump in on what that lady just asked? Or what?
Anywhere you want to jump in, right ahead. Go right ahead, Devin. Jump right in.
Yeah, I mean, it was really the late 1800s when the independence on the tribal level, the tribal nation level, really started to, you know, diminish because of the, you know, treaties and the regulations and all the acts of Congress that followed after that. But when you, I guess you could say, let's talk about some independence, right? So whenever, you know, I was working with the federal government along with different tribes, a bunch, you know, the 18-state region I helped manage or, you know, helped consult on, it was always boiled down to, you know, the contractual agreements that states had with the Fed and then the contractual agreements that the Feds had with the tribes that were in that region, right? And so by region, I mean that there's 8 different regions through the Fed database in which they classify different, you know, sub-regions through the fiscal year for the, Congress Appropriations Committee, Congressional Appropriations Committee, and that's the committee that goes ahead and gives the tribes the 0.5% of the taxes collected, you know, and keep in mind, 567 tribal nations, that was what it was 2 years ago, I don't know what it is now, but 567 in 2018 through 19, and the budget that was collected by the federal government, the taxes that year, you know, that Congress went and broke down with the national deficit and stuff, the tribes, all 567, only got 0.5%. They only got 0.5% of that, I guess you could say, breakdown of wages or revenues that came in coming to the Fed. So if you take that math and you divide that by, you know, 567, we don't even get a 4% of the funds or the resources that are allocated from the federal government each year. And so prior to that, we owned the lands, right? Prior to making contractual agreements to the Indian Reorganization Act, you know, and Indian Citizenship Act, where we became citizens of the United States and had to agree to revoke our own independent rights as human beings, right, in 1924. When all these things happened, we didn't really have a choice because we were living on reservations. And the reservation systems at that time had given us, you know, I mean, Chinupa, and probably real already all know this, but this is for the listening audience, that they gave us really poisonous foods that would alter the genetic makeup and our biology in our stomachs and through our livers and through our hearts and through our lungs, you know, through our kidneys, everything, even our brains and our lungs. And this food is, at that time, was very, very calcium, you know, not calcium, sodium and starch concentrated. A lot of glucose, a lot of fructose, right? And it concentrated forms of sugar, concentrated forms of salt, and concentrated forms of a fattening agent known as starch, you know, or carbs, in essence. So most of the food they gave us at that time was dried, right? It was instant mashed potatoes, you know, instant eggs, all that stuff. And we pretty much got what the government had an excess of because they would buy stuff from agricultural people at cheap prices and then turn around and give it back to the tribes and charge them a dollar for it, right? And so that still goes on in today's world. And so when that happened to us, it essentially took us from a nation of people who were used to getting their own food, to hunting for their own food, for, you know, harvesting their own food, finding a generation of full active people who hardly ever sat down, right? Who hardly ever spent all day inside, right? And so that's what it did to us. It was diminished our free minds and took us to a place where we got sedentary, to where we stop thinking for ourselves, we stop trying to, we stop acting out of love, we stop acting out of courage and generosity, and we became greedy, right? Because there was not enough to go around. And if we tried to live the way that we lived before, we were either shot and killed or we were thrown in a prison cell, depending on how the person reacted to the federal agents or the federal officers at that time or the state cops, you know, the state agents that tried to come and enforce the regulations that we had to live under. And so ever since then, you fast forward to 2021, right, 120 years, it's going to magnify. That effect is going to magnify on each and every person that is living on a reservation, right? And from there on down, unless somebody tries to fix the problem, unless, you know, a group of people get together and try to look at the issues, the conflicts that we are embarked in this reality that we're in, right? There's nothing that's ever going to stop that. And it's going to keep on keeping on and keep on going. And it's going to keep magnifying because the amount of people that are on this earth are going to keep growing. The resources that we have, I'm going to tell you something that my grandma told me, you know, and she was, when I was a little boy, she lived by a river. And on this, sorry, I'm outside, so man, I drove by my street really loud. I'm going to go inside real quick. She told us of a time when things used to be really, really big, right? She talked about the animals. She talked about the trees. She talked about the insects, you know, the reptiles, the amphibians, you know, all the beings that most human beings don't pay attention to anymore, right? And she talked about a time when the earth was really rich in natural water. You know, you could drink from springs. You could, you know, drink from rivers. Anywhere that you went, you could drink from a water source that you found. And when she talked about this time, she talked about our people. And she talked about our earth, you know, our mother earth, our mother. And she talked about our father sky, you know, the one who brings the rain, the thunderbird, you know, the rainbows, the lightning, all these things. And she spoke of the sacred circle of life, right, in which the water drops on the earth and we consume the water, right? And from the water, we are born. And so when we die, in essence, we will turn back into water. And that's what she spoke of. And so it made sense when I was a kid. And she talked about all the things that are out in the wilderness, right? The trees, you know, the fruits, the berries, the wild vegetables, right? All these things, the animals, you know, that we used to, you know, hunt to survive on, the buffalo, you know, the elk, the moose, you know, the deer, the antelope, all these things. And she spoke of their sacrifice that they gave to us a long, long time ago. You know, all those things in that circle of life she spoke about. She talked about the sacrifice that they gave to us for us to understand how to live in complete harmony with ourselves and with our beings, the creation around us. Right. And so she had these pair of moccasins. She showed us that were porcupine quills. And she talked about the porcupine. She talked about the red paint and the red earth. You know, I'm not going to get too much into that, but she talked about all the sacrifices that the animals had made, you know, because she said a long time ago, she believed that our people, even our people understood this, that if an animal, any being that does not speak, if it really wanted to speak to you, it could. Right? And so when humans, two-legged, were coming about and we were freshly created, she spoke about how these animals seen us struggling in the new world that we had been given, or that we were given to, I should say. And she spoke of these animals and these creatures that watched us for a while. And eventually they would all come to us and tell us things that they wanted us to learn. And from that, they would give us a piece of themselves to use in our day-to-day life. And so from there, she explained all of the forms of our traditional clothing, all of the structures of our traditional homes, all of the ingredients of our structural, or I guess you could say structure our structural makeup of our medicines that we used to use, right? And she explained how we got to know where they were located, how we got to know when they were picked or available for picking, you know, all these things. And she had always spoken of the availability of these resources. They're out there. You just have to go get them, right? And that's where people are now. These resources are out here. You know, we have all the medicines. We have all the things that we need to pick, right? And all the things we need to gather to be able to provide for ourselves. But there's one problem. You know, the one problem is government. And it'll always be government, not just the government that's in Washington, D.C., but the government that lives on our tribal reservation, the government that lives in the city councils, the government that stays at state capitals, right? Because forever, it seems like, you know, three or four generations, they've been perfecting a structure of obedience, a structure of, I guess you could say, conformity to which every human being that is living this earth has to follow, right? And in there, you can't go to a certain tree. You can't go to a certain river. You have to stay on the path that has already been plowed. It has already been plagued. It already has blacktop. It already has concrete on it. Somebody already came and dug it up before you and destroyed all the natural conductivity of the soil and the geological makeup of that structure that you're walking on, right? Which could be, you know, a hill, could be a stream, it could be a river, it could be a creek, it could be a forest, right? All these things. And so that is essentially what's holding tribal governments and tribal people, indigenous people, you know, people who were of independent structures prior to colonialism from it fulfilling that independence, because we don't realize that it's lost if we don't practice it, right? And if we don't practice it, not just one person here or there, you know, or two people, if the whole majority of tribal people lose that understanding, we will no longer have it. Right? Because the world that we are in is so good at brainwashing people to believe and think other than themselves and from themselves. And so people watch TV, people get on social media, people, you know, they spend time on their phones every day. You know, some people exercise 5 hours a day, taking in all this stuff that this little piece of glass in our pockets omits to our brains. And them energy signals naturally want to go outside. They naturally want to feel the wind on our face. They naturally want to feel the sun. Right. And so we exclude ourselves from those things. They naturally want to hear birds. Right. And so we exclude ourselves from those things. And from there is where the destruction begins. Right. There's something bred inside of us, a darkness that occurs, you know, I guess you could say, that removes us from that understanding of who we are. And it puts us in a one place. Oh, it's just one. I'm myself. I'm for me. I don't have to worry about my relatives. Right. And so that's where we are right now in today's world. How we get away from that? You know, in my opinion, doesn't mean jack to very much people, but is, you know, we have to find a way to remove ourselves from that system, right? We have to find a way to connect with those resources. We have to find a way to break those chains that they put on us and those restrictions that they put on us to be obedient, right? Because if I went out today, you know, in the National Forest somewhere, and I tried to go and pick some cedar, you know, or, you know, some sage, I would probably be harassed by a federal agent, not necessarily an FBI agent or, DEA agent or ATF agent, just an agent of the Forestry Service whose job and training has been devoted to maintaining forestry resources. All right, and so it goes on and on and on. There's so many ins and outs. There's so many federal regulations. There's so many codes of authority that we have to follow. That people are required to fall in a line to, right? And that's all I got right now, man. You know, is just explaining how that concept of independence was ripped from tribal people at the essence of the creations of reservations, right? And the food, you know, and our activities, you know, our physical activities, our physical prowess, you know, how we used to be compared to how we are now. You know, and the things that we use, you know, and out of that darkness, you know, there comes a lot of things, comes selfishness, you know, there comes abuse, there becomes addictions, you know, there becomes a suicide, you know, all these things that Native populations across the U.S. on reservations, and even in, you know, off-reservation lands, we have the highest rates for it, you know, because we don't understand the world we live in. You know, the system was designed to kill us from day one. It was designed to remove us from ourselves. It was designed to make us have short hair. You know, it was designed to make us hate ourselves for being who we are. Right? So, yeah, with that, that's about all I have to say on that, you know, for now. Unless somebody has a question for me. Or,
yeah. Well, so.
You know, my little brother hit something that was on the core of what you all are always saying, that when you make an approach to take a look at the surrounding environment you're part of. And that environment is, you know, the earth, the trees, and all this. He made something very clear that you will always be monitored, okay? And I'm going to dispute that from only my perspective, Chinupagluha Mani's perspective. And I'm going to do it this way as we're coming up to the top of the hour of 7. Mitakiepi lechala makhpiat hohok silakile taku iwogalake kihe. Hena echa wabreze hok silakile wanke. Oyate kit hopi wichoye wanzi oispe. Hena na ena echapi, hena echa, makhpiat hok lena. Ho hena echa woyuk jankilet hankikia he. Tokata kya wabreze he. Wakat hanka ki chi manetu ki. Tokata kya kach makhoche et hanta. Ho, ochlate na tima makhoche ki lep tala kache he ha. Hu nupa na ha, wiaka oyate hena ata. Ochloka he tima yankepi. Ne hecha ze, hecha ata we chosen in a woki. Taku hena wolak hota aikwak oki hena hechun se itakya. Ho, wana le makha lechuns ekagen a wobulut hanka egena ke he ha. Makha si tomani ak le he wabla ze he hinakhe. Ho yung kha oksila ki le na echa. Tokata ke wama kashka iab he ha. Oksila ki le na wama kapi. Mitaki epitakwe hutupa ki hena kakitka yok ta he. Hena hechuns e woki wanzi oate ke hena nakunya pe na insya hechuns e etuwa. Ho, koha wana wama kashkan lena ata wa makha ki le ata kaichi pke na ata. Boom, boom, boom. Makhaki at the wobble trunk and ochloke he hin up call, huh? Oh, heta, huh? Hochbeck in an attack, henna hochbeck in eye crack, okay, hey, you slew that. Oh, heta, huh? Who topak in a yap in a yaka, who nupa is a yap. Henna echa a honey, wosita was the egg in a copy, which akha boyatic. No hoxilak in a hunky, suta le wonspec le hoxilak le chunse, won it yak of he, which akhe. Homana le yupta wank dina etaha mila huska ta wokiki ognash na hechufi. Wong laka vasna as wokiki le kokata ki iblame de wasiti abhapi. To we choik le munkti. In reference to what my little brother of the northern Arapaho, the people of the Blue Cloud people up in northern country, he made a remarkable understanding of reconnecting to what we still have. And the reason for that, he was asking himself and others, how do we go about it? Because you have special agents out there describing themselves as park rangers or whatever. It's always the might of, you know, white men's, you know, colonial practices and powers and those position holders that want to enable, you know, the powers of be to, you know, stop you from doing anything you're supposed to do that you believe in within yourself to exercise those validity of those freedoms of independence. What I really wanted to take a look at, as I said it in the language, because the Blue Cloud people are still within their mountain range. I kid you not. Even though they're right below the Bannocks of the Shoshone people, okay, the Tohoka. Tohoka hena echa wanka lechus egna kapcha. So there's kind of like a three-pronged point, okay? You got the Shoshone, you got our Northern Arapaho, and we Lakotas are over this way. The reason why the Lakota has never been driven away from their ceremonial burial ground, which is the Black Hills here, in our state of South Dakota, every area that was vested upon indigenous people had them since time immemorial. I used to hear the elders talk about, just like what he just said, that he listened to his grandmother tell him things of soul purity and real. Well, those are still here. They're still pure and real. And you still can drink from those waters and whatnot. But the contamination of what white people do, they keep extracting things and they keep going in there because our people, through these tribal governments, allow that to happen because of the monetary existence. Mammon. So you have two different discrepancies about, you know, the monetary existence, which is mammon, according to how they see it from the Bible perspective. Money, third piece. This is the wealth that humanity forget to understand that that money isn't real. But it does buy necessities from a household that, you know, you were all, you know, dependent on. Potato chips, candy, pop, all those sodium nitrate things that the white race has created when we're afraid to go out there and do it. And he is right about one thing. When you do make that attempt to go out there, you are going to be bombarded with all these negativities from the white, you know, perspectives of law and all the intrusion because they don't want us out there in our natural, you know, abundance of our way of living with our earth mother and so forth. The minute Native people go back, indigenous people go back into the spiritual realms of the land they're connected, that sends a red flare up in the eyes of the white man. They get scared of that. Because that man can't go in there. He always wants to control and cultivate things. Okay? That's the nature of the white race. And I keep saying this over and over to my people. That's all of you guys. All of you guys are listening. If we're ever to go back into independence and pick it back up the way it used to be, we need to start doing it right now. We can talk about it all day long, but if we're not going to do it right now, shut up. That's the problem. So we keep giving you education and literatures about it, but still you want to go that way. Because, yes, they give us this codependency on all these carcinogens and necessities that belong to them, but we forgot to look at our four-legged brothers and sisters, our animals. I had the opportunity to be with my animals today, and I see this happening over and over. And let me tell you, our four-legged still have that fear base in them, even though I didn't pose a threat to him. Some came, licked my vehicle, gave me a chance to sing to them, talk to them, and they wandered off, these little babies too. And they were talking Lakota, mind you, which they still hold on to this language. The language will never die. The only way you'll kill the language, dying and killing is two different concepts of a word. Okay? Dying means that when your body shuts back to the earth and goes back there, you take your language with you. When you kill it, in other words, you don't want to believe in yourself to pick it back up when the animals still have it. That's the difference where we're all, you know, heading to if we don't wake up right now. Because everybody says a good game, from the missing, murdered indigenous women to AIM and all these other groups out there. They're all playing this, you know, holy, you know, domination of what they are supposed to do to achieve and help people. No, no, no. The white man keep feeding people like that with the monetary existence of mammon so that way they can still pick up the drugs and alcohol. And now America is keeping it more or less afloat by legalizing it into almost every state now within the Western Hemisphere. Okay? And the reason for that is once you're numb and your heart and brain are not, you know, consumed with the natural freedoms of independence, it's easier to monopolize and control you from their mechanism. America has always been a communist country ever since them people arrived here and in 1492. And when the Declaration of Independence became more of a flaw in 1776, that's how they enforced that through that colonial power. Make sense? Hell yeah, it does. So when 1776, it wasn't that long ago where they created that quarter They call it the year of the bicentennial year, and they had that quarter, man, with them guys marching and flag and drum. And that was, you know, the symbolic of how 4th of July becomes the day of independence. Well, I disagree. If this country and they are utilizing that independence, why aren't they doing it? You see, capitalistic control took that away from humanity when corporations. So when you do the math and excerpts to understand the nature between why this White House was abandoned in 1787, then you will see that the corporation took it over. See, that's the hard part for people to ever really take a look at. So when the Continental Dollar was in existence, that had more value than the corporate dollar. Well, let me give you more history to that as we turn it back around again. Don't forget that past and present people did have the validity to understand the independent structure that belonged to the First Nations people. They did. Whether you like it or not, folks, we had it already. But when all them people arrived here in 1492, they brought all that racial disparities, all that heinous behavior that they inflicted upon our people. And when you look out in the East Coast, three-quarters of the people that once lived from Maine to Florida and inward are no more. It's an empty space of land when you go out there and when you can't see your people anywhere, like you see out here in the Midwest on reservations. They're gone. They're all crossbred out there. And don't forget what we said last night about the $5 Indians and many others. When their government was giving them free assistance, all these white people and many others jumped on that. They didn't qualify. But yet the consensus and the U.S. Census, man, accepted them to do that. And that happened in 1803, see? So you can learn all these mechanisms from the white race of what they contribute because they always lie about it. And they always think that, their way is the most honorable way, when in fact it's a big lie. So now that we go back into independent structure to see exactly where we're going, I'm going to throw this out to everybody, okay? And I want you all to get into it. And if you have a sacred pipe, you have a Sundance, you have a drum, you have a fan out of an eagle wing, hawk wing, and you have a war lance, whatever you got, okay, traditional, okay? Those things, and I'm only using this English language to identify them, okay? I'd rather use the language, but a lot of you don't have your language. So it'll be hard to break them down in Lakota to give them to you. So I'm only going to use the English language to describe these things openly this way. So if we have all these sacred dances, Sundance, sweat lodge, tomahawks, bows and arrows, all these traditional things that are dear to us, and I mean dear to us, because all these people that work in those positions for the tribal governments and federal government, they are all wards to them from any program, whether it's the Kamad House, DIPO, Air Quality Control, whatever, all of them, okay? They will always put the white side of things first. This is why the conclusion and the illusion of confusion comes in, okay? The illusion of confusion is this. We ourselves, as a once independent and free people, don't know what we really want. I kid you not. We're going to all be back at it talking about it, okay? And I've always said this to many people, past and present, young and old. I've always said this. I want to be free and left alone. But one person, one individual can't have it until you all have it. And if you all can think like that, independent and freely, then that momentum will pick up and grow. But you don't want to because you keep running out here. We have ways to come together like we all want to do. We want to come together. We don't really want to come together because if we really wanted to come together, we would have done it already. You see what I'm getting at? I'm not using this to divide people. No. I'm tired of hearing all these things that go on in Indian country, but yet we're not seeing the big picture that's right in front of us. It's right in front of us, folks. Take a look out your house window. Open your door and peek outside. It's right there. And that's the hard part we don't want to go back into. So I'm proud of people like my little brother Devin and Jabril and all these guys that are paying attention to see the big picture. That big picture is going to get completely empty if we don't put ourselves back in it. You can always make a frame. But what's inside that frame? That's the hard part. The white man's frame is square. Our frame is oval, circle. That's it. But we don't get back into that piece now. And this is the part that I wanted to throw at you. And I'm going to turn it back over to all of you. Everyone lawfully within the territory wants something that creates the movement of liberty. Okay? From hunting, from fishing to doing it all, like what my little brother was trying to amplify on. Okay? So those freedoms are your choice. If you want to stay in a boxed area and keep that as your residence, okay? Well, I'm in my own country. I've never left it, only when I went overseas as an invited guest to different countries, when I met Hugo Chavez, the late Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales from Bolivia, and different other ones, Victor Prucha from Italy. I've met these people even when I went up to Little Sisters Land in Canada, okay? But what I'm getting at is, when you include yourself within your own, okay, as mentioned, you still have a right to go out there and hunt, fish, do it all. But because we're idolizing the way laws are implemented, we need to get that concept out of our head, folks. That's the white man's way. So he contaminated us so damn bad, we act and behave like him, and then we're even talking like him. So that illusion of confusion is here. So now when we go back to what I just mentioned, if you keep restricting yourself from all those basic necessities that are outside, okay, you're the one that keeps yourself in captivity, incarcerated. Duh. And you all want to be free and left alone. I mean, that's what I always hear at certain ones. What's never, ever been the key to hold the system accountable? We have never, and I'm going to say this, folks, we're so stuck on treaties, we're so stuck on the Indian Reorganization of 1934, we're so stuck on these things that belong to the citizenship through 1924 and so forth, we forgot how to think freely of creating an independent structure as a covenant to show the white race, we want you to leave us alone so we can take care of ourselves. That's the hard part. And yet, when we talk this way, oh, you're all going to bastardize Chinupa. Oh, he don't know what. No, I'm living it. I'm still serving my people. I'm still out there bringing food and clothing back to feed my children, my elders, okay? All of you that listen and are on the internet that bastardize everything you claim to be, you're doing it because of drugs and alcohol to stay numb. You'll never, ever pick up the freedom. And you're so used to being isolated, your own prison is your own home. And don't tell me, man, that ain't happening, because you are. And once you recognize that, what you guys are recognizing, who's talking right there?
Yeah, we're down to 50 seconds in the show.
Okay. That's it. The show's going to cut off in 50 seconds, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we don't have the hour now. Anyway, let's try to piece this all back up next week. And so I'm just going to leave it right there, because once I get pumped into this stuff, that's where we go. So, you know, if we only have an hour, okay, I'm going to let it go, and I'll see you all next week. Thank you, and have a great rest of the weekend. Okay.
Okay. We're out of time. We're down to 10 seconds. We thank everybody and hopefully hear from you again next week.
Thank you for all that information. It was very enlightening.
Okay, thank you. Again next week. Well, good night.
Okay.
Okay. Yo.
What?
Thanks for coming on the show. You, Jenny, and anybody else. Have a good night, good week, and we hope to see you again next week.
Yeah, good day.